I'm Matt Heidinger. Thanks for crossing the street and coming to see us on the final day. I'm going to talk about adaptive cards. I'm a program manager on the Windows Developer Platform. But what I'm about to show you is going to be applied. You'll see it kind of applied across a wide variety of things. It was introduced in the keynote a couple times. So originally, my talk was called Introducing Adaptive Cards. But hopefully, you'd seen a little bit. But I'm going to dive into a little bit about what they are and where you can use them. So adaptive cards, we'll get into, but I do want to take a quick history lesson and just talk about cards. You know, I think most of us in the industry are aware of the term cards, but well, what do they really mean? So my team set out to really figure that out and dive into what do people really mean when they think of cards. And so as a consumer, as a user of our products, we see them all over the place. Facebook is a very common example. As I'm scrolling through a Facebook feed here, you'll notice you'll see news articles, you'll see YouTube videos, you'll see all these various things. And this is an article that a colleague of ours, Andrew Bars, a YouTube video he posted, and it was on our Facebook feed. That same exact content, as a user, I then saw in Microsoft Edge on the new tab page. So this is a card. It's that same content. I'm, as the user, seeing this content in various places. But it looks and feels like Edge. I could also share that video to someone on Skype or WhatsApp, and it would create a little card-like experience that, again, looks and feels native in Skype, but it's that same content being passed around and rendering this card, this native card-like thing. And what we introduced yesterday at the keynote was now this new experience called Windows Timeline. And so this is an even a richer, even more engaging place that you're going to start to see cards. Developers like all of us are going to be able to put these cards in with the key goal that this looks and feels like a timeline card. It looks and feels like a cohesive experience. So shifting gears from where consumers see them, and to kind of reiterate where they've kind of evolved to, again, they start out with just web pages, right? Like, you'd basically see articles on Facebook, and then that grew into video as bots and more of these card-like things came out, and scenarios kept pushing it further and further. You started to see reservations. You started to see weather cards. You started to see reminder cards. And then you started to see airline itinerary cards. But an itinerary is not enough. If you're going to do an airline bot, you need more than an itinerary. You need a check-in reminder and a flight update. Then we started to see restaurant cards. And we started to see receipt cards. And all of those things are achieved via a pretty simple mechanism right now. Three main ways. The first one is Twitter. So on Twitter cards, to get your content to surface up richly in Twitter, you add some metadata to your content. This is a Nat Geo article. Twitter gives it a very nice representation. With that metadata that you've decorated your content with, now Twitter surfaces it up, gets it out to more people, so everyone wins. There's benefit in decorating with that content. Facebook released a tech called the Open Graph, and that really took this metadata to new levels because that's where Facebook is really surfacing all these things. And with Open Graph, really, it's a metadata format. A microdata format that it's very specific to domains. Like there's articles, there are videos, and those articles and videos have very specific properties for those things. You can see this one is an article. Here's the title, it has a description, it has an image. That's basically all you can do. That's why Facebook users get a nice consistent experience. All those articles look familiar. But they realize that metadata doesn't really go that far. It doesn't really go far enough to like how do we do this flight itinerary, for example? How do we do a flight schedule? So with Facebook Messenger, they introduced these things called Messenger templates, and there are a handful of them, like eight, but they're very specific. But it's basically an object model serialized in this, a very specific domain that renders a very nice card. But if you're Alaska or you're Delta, you all get the same exact card. Everyone gets the same template. So there are benefits of this. You know, there's a reason the industry is where it is today. There's a reason why we are where we are. And for these host experiences like Twitter and Facebook of the world, all that third-party content, they can safely open themselves up to the breadth of the internet and know that this content is going to look great. And why do they care about that? Well, because to their users, Facebook looks like Facebook and Twitter looks like Twitter. It's that same article, that same Nat Geo article, that same New York Times article. If I'm scrolling through on Twitter, it feels like Twitter. Users certainly benefit from that. And for content authors, the breadth of us, frankly, we just have to decorate our content once. You get that automatic reach, automatic breadth for free. So there are certainly benefits. There are, however, a couple of challenges. And for those host apps, every template that you want to think of must be implemented, designed, and documented, proprietary format that you spread around and you have to get people to buy into it. It's also hard to predict what templates will be useful. You know, the airline industry got a leg up, lucky for them, but if you're Amtrak and you're, you know, selling train tickets, there aren't any templates for you. And for these content authors, there's limited types of content that you can publish. There are right now articles, videos, airline stuff, books, things like this, very common things that you'd share, but that long tail is just not being addressed. And there's no ability to customize those templates. You know, they're all going to look pretty much the same. So how do we get off this template treadmill? Well, what we set out to do and set out to experiment with was open up an HTML canvas, seal it with a bow, and everything's good. And there are some benefits to that. One of those, we're off the treadmill. That's nice. Now we can open ourselves up, and anyone who wants to create anything they want can just draw on this box, and OK, good. For users, they get the content they expect. I can talk to a bot. You know, the content authors don't have to wait for these templates to come up. They can just paint whatever they want and get to their users. And those content authors have the freedom to draw anything that they want. There are, of course, some challenges. For these host apps, there are performance and security costs with mixing UI stacks. If you're Facebook or Skype, and you're in a chat conversation canvas, and you're a user, rapid scrolling is obviously paramount to their experience. Consistent text and type ramps is paramount to their experience. The cognitive load between if everyone paints their own little HTML cards and the type ramps don't quite add up, it creates a problem that really would be very difficult to solve. And it's difficult to enforce that consistency, and it's difficult to restrain what card authors can do. You know, if you give them an HTML canvas, do you give them all of CSS? Because you can't give them HTML without CSS. And with CSS, typically comes JavaScript. So there's a bunch of challenges in just opening that up. And for those content authors, you know, the benefit of cards today is that you document, you tag this content once, you give this metadata once, and you get the automatic reach. That's the benefit of metadata versus like a rich UI stack. You're going for breadth in a lot of this. You want your content to reach your users wherever they are. If you're drawing a specific HTML canvas and you make it look really great in Facebook Messenger, and then I talk to that same bot, for example, on Skype, but it still gets that Facebook HTML style, like it doesn't quite feel like Skype, you then now have to make sure you're implementing, you know, your cards on all these platforms. And then that's really not a lot. It kind of gets rid of a lot of the advantage of bots, which are this conversational simple reach versus building an app on every platform. You don't want to have to build a bot and a card on every platform. The economies just don't make sense. So is there another way? Is there something that can sit between these fixed templates and just an open HTML canvas? And when I say HTML, I could mean, you know, XAML standard that was announced, or any kind of rich UI language. Is there something that can sit between those two? And so let's take a quick look. Is it this one? The number fell off. Sorry about that. Okay, so what I'm talking to here, and for the most of these demos, I'm going to be, to prevent you from watching me bounce around to a bunch of different contexts, we're going to mostly be talking about bots today. But as you saw in the keynote, the cards are about more than that. I'm going to touch on that. But for now, this demo is going to focus pretty heavily on bots. Hopefully, you guys are familiar with bots and some of the advantages of them. But what I have here is a bot through, this is Skype. This is Skype's web chat that I'm in right now, an early preview. So this, you know, this will be a little rough. But I'm going to talk to this bot. And I say hello. He toasted me, that's good. Refresh him. So now you see I'm really talking in Skype. Okay, there he is. So this bot returned a carousel of cards. I should have made that a little more realistic. I say, hey, I'm looking for dive schools. And what he's returning is a carousel of these cards that are dive schools. And so I see Fabricam 4.1 stars 13 miles away. So let's just do Fabricam. That sounds good. Cool, at Fabricam, you have a choice of 3 scenic scuba destinations. You can go to Alki Beach, Golden Gardens, Bainbridge Island. Let's try Alki Beach. Cool. How many people will be joining you? We have input selector here. We can just say 3. 3 of your best buddies. When do you want to go diving? Note that you need to be here. You know, they're showing some text differentiation. We've got some, not our prettiest graphics, but some showing that we can put some content in these cards. 2017. Scuba comes with delicious lunches. Do you have any special meal preferences? Sure, we'll say vegetarian. Great. And then it says, at this beach, here's a nice pretty weather card. And if it works, you can see there's some actions here, and we'd be able to tap on these, and we get forecast. So what did we just see? I recently got back from Mexico. I picked up a little tan. I realized I missed my calling and should have gotten into the scuba industry, hence why I made the scuba bot. But if I wanted to build that bot before today, I probably was out of luck. What are the odds that someone had written scuba templates for me, templates that would let me achieve the scenario that I wanted? So everything you just saw there were adaptive cards. They weren't as pretty as we could have made them. We were trying to get this thing going. Skype's been helping us a lot, just kind of getting this early prototyping. But what adaptive cards are, they're an open toolkit. They support multiple platforms. You'll see them in Windows. You'll start to see them in Microsoft Teams. You just saw them in Skype. They're inherently cross-platform. You know, cards, as we talked about, are all about reach. That means getting to your users where they are. That means every type of device imaginable. That is what we're trying to achieve with adaptive cards. So what we're really trying to do is fill that middle ground. You know, flexible enough to carry that long tail where these host apps, these host experiences still retain their full experience and control of that experience. That card that I just demoed looked like Skype. We're going to see that demo on a couple other platforms, and you'll see that in those apps, it feels like those apps as well. So we had a couple of goals as we set out to define what these things were. We want to sit between fixed templates and custom layout. We're narrowly focusing on that group of people. They automatically adapt to the host UX. So what you're going to see as we get into some of the examples of these payloads are simple JSON payloads. They're composable building blocks that can be portable. They can be sent to multiple devices, and when they're sent to those experiences, they adapt to look and feel like those things. That is a key goal of what we're trying to do. They're low cost, and again, targeted long tail. That means they're going to be super easy to build, and they're purely declarative, no code, including some of those rich things like we saw where you can collect input from people, and you can have some rich actions. We'll get into some of those. So, let's finally see. Some of you might have seen it because our site opened up the other day. So at adaptivecards.io, we have some documentation, a schema explorer, a visualizer, all sorts of stuff that we can kind of get into helping you build these adaptive cards and helping you join this ecosystem, helping you light up in these experiences and get these things around. So, here's our card, our site, adaptivecards.io. If you click on samples, we've created a couple scenarios. So here's an activity update. Here's a calendar reminder. We did the flight itinerary. We did flight update. And what these were, basically experiments of, we're trying to recreate Facebook's templates. And we use that, frankly, as a litmus test to see, is our schema powerful enough? Can we recreate these things? which means I do need to emphasize, these are not templates. These are just scenarios that we put together to try and validate that our schema could enable some certain things. So you can see that we have text, we have text styling, we can do image galleries for you, we can build, say, restaurant type stuff, stock update, whether compact, whether large, rich background images, rich visualization. You can see we have inline actions, so you can declare these actions that can run inline. We can do some pretty cool stuff too. Like, so a very common card is, especially in things like Microsoft Teams and Slack, where you get this card that's like, hey, you know, someone filed this expense report, do you approve it or decline? And cool, we can put two buttons on there, but it's really common that maybe when you click decline, a new box would show up that would say, well, why? Like maybe a reason. So we have the ability for one card to show another card. And so that's what you're seeing here. These actions are toggling another card. We didn't go like infinite nesting. So for right now, it's one card can show another card. But this card can be anything you want. And so it enables some really cool scenarios where you can just say, OK, here we go. And then I, you know, comment on that. So based on some of these samples, we have a try it yourself button. And that's going to load up our visualizer. You could have just played with it from here. But basically, this is a relatively simple tool that has the JSON schema. And I get the whole industry moved to JSON, and it's all great. But it is a very tough payload to kind of visualize. And like your eyes are no doubt glossing over. It just, frankly, it's just not as human-friendly as XML was, unfortunately. It's also a little awkward to type. But so I'm not going to get super into the schema. Our documentation does cover that. But what you're seeing here is here's the payload, and here's a preview of what this card would look like on Microsoft Teams. So if I change this card created, you could say, hello, build, and you could see it live updates. So from here, we have a container, what we call them, these host experiences. I mentioned host experiences. Adaptive cards are useless without an experience to host them. So yes, we are cross-platform, but we're actually a level up than that. A card has to be delivered to a host app that is adaptive cards aware. So a card comes in, they apply some themes, and ultimately what gets generated is this native UI. So in this tool, we're generating HTML DOM that is styled to look like Microsoft Teams. I could change that to Skype. And you can see, this is now going to look and feel very native in Skype. It's my same content, me as the content author. I've described a set of actions, so we have these declarative actions that you can do. But on Skype, you'll see that the buttons are full width. They stack vertically. I can still do those rich things like show card. But what Skype is going to do is do a little dialogue window in their app. So they're overriding how show cards get rendered, and they're going to show a dialogue to the user. That same thing, again, on Microsoft Teams does a show card in this inline mode. So these cards are adapting to meet various things. We could do timeline. This one, unfortunately, is not the prettiest. We have to fix some things. Timeline is a fixed height. So there will be some considerations as you change from modalities that are full height and ones that are fixed height. You have to be aware of that as you're authoring your content. But so we've got these previewers. We've got a bunch of different things in here. We can click on a couple other ones to show. I just want to show the power of the schema that we have today. And one more example, let's go to this flight update and click try it yourself. Switch that to Skype. We can show that as a Windows Toast notification. Show in Skype for now. And so there's this red text in here, delayed. So just to give you an idea of what line we're trying to draw, here's that JSON that's that delayed. I'm going to change it to say on time. And that doesn't really look right, because on time you don't really want to be red. And so this color that we have, you'll notice this is not a RGB value. This isn't a hex code. What we're trying to do is skirt this line between semantic information and structural layout. So we tried to go full semantic. Like, let's call everything, you know, like HTML1 originally was, right? And you inherently run into limitations. People can't quite create, as we started to talk to more and more card authors, they can't quite create the cards they want. So we're trying to skirt that divide. Your feedback here is most welcome. But right now, this is a kind of good example. So we have these text blocks, we have the text, and for color, I can change the color to good. I can do attention, I can do warning, and we can even do accent. And for right now, we only have one accent color. And that accent color, again, will be interpreted by the host app. And when you send that to Facebook Messenger, accent's probably going to be Facebook blue. When you send it to Microsoft Teams, it'll probably be a Microsoft Teams purple, whatever their logo is. So you are saying, hey, I want to draw attention to this text, but you're not specifying the exact experience. That's up to the host rendering it. So that's our visualizer, that's our tool. Again, you can play with all of this right now. We have our sample browser, and then we have our schema explorer. And so these are the basic building blocks of what we have. We have text blocks, and you can see some of the properties in here. I talked about size, weight, color, we can do subtle. If the text wraps, how many lines should it wrap to? And again, this is all just a generic cross-platform schema that we're evolving over time. Text and images get you pretty far. We can see here's a couple ninja cats showing their alignment. And if all works well, I will refresh and refresh again. Totally different ninja cats. You can't trust ninja cats, people. They are elusive. So aside from some of our basic text and image, we have these things called fact sets that let you do quick key value pairs. They're really quick ways of just getting columns of data. You've seen them in a couple of our other cards. Here, so these are just quick fact sets. They make really nice key value pairs. We have image galleries, we have a couple set of actions, and a whole handful of things. So I showed you in the visualizer, and I showed you some stuff in Skype. I want to show that same flow. This is Bot Framework's web chat control. So if you haven't played with the Bot Framework yet, it's a super useful technology stack that all it's trying to do is, similar to Adaptive Cards, help you get your content to your users, help you reach your users wherever they are. So if you write a bot, which is all it is really, is just a REST endpoint at a specific location, you publish into the Bot Framework dashboard, and you start to light up these other channels. So the one I've lit up by default is Skype. You can also light up this web chat. And what this control is useful for is just embedding it into your website. So you know, if you're a website who has customer service type stuff, you can embed a nice chat experience in your app. So I'm going to do kind of that same demo here in web chat. And I'm going to say, I'd like to scuba dive. And you can see that same carousel. The carousel looks a little different. Again, they're giving it their own visual treatment on my content, on my payload. And I'm going to say Fabric Cam sounds fine. You can see here where I previously had typed Alki Beach. If you saw Matt Veloso's talk on bot patterns and practices, I highly recommend it, especially as this bot space keeps growing and users are expecting to talk to your service more and more. They talked about, you know, everyone kind of wants to go to the very end of conversations and make them super smart and be able to answer any type of question you might have. Well, realistically, what we need, just like command line interfaces evolved to graphical interfaces, which help guide you, your bot needs to be helpful in doing that as well. So what it's presenting here is these rich graphical things. Again, these are all adaptive cards, not templates. But it's showing that I can just select one of these. I don't have to type. I can just say, OK, cool, Alki Beach, great. How many people will be joining you? You can see this is our number selector. That's awesome. Date picker, we've already seen. We can go in, you know, this little kind of one of the worst calendars I've seen, but that's what you get with just Chromes. pick your thing there, and cool. Same idea, and I can click on these links. I also created a couple of random payloads that I actually think I'll save till later to show you a couple other cards. But hopefully this showcases the power of adaptive cards. We're excited for you to poke through the schema. I do want to, while I'm here, head over to our GitHub. I'm kind of excited to get to do this. I get to go to settings, and I get to go to the danger zone. And we get to make this guy password. What do? I've never actually done this, so type in the name of the repository. I understand. Do it. Okay. Autocomplete the password. Ha ha! Finally. That's been a long time coming. We finally got to open up our GitHub. It feels good. It's been a long, very fun road. It's cool getting it out there. We're really excited to get you guys involved. We're really trying to get an ecosystem going that is going to be open and standardized that I'll kind of touch base on a little bit. So yeah, feel free to poke through it. Basically, in our source, we have all of our platforms that we're going to support, which is a whole handful of them. We have down here a little status. Again, we're in kind of early preview. You can build. We have some of our packages published. Some of them are further along than others. But over the next coming months, we have a lot to share with this, so we're pretty excited about that. So, cool. Let me switch back to the demo machine. So, what are adaptive cards? They're a rich schema for you to lay out your content. Again, designed for breadth. We want you to lay out your content once and have it go all these places that support adaptive cards. There are actions. You saw some of those actions. You can open URLs. You can submit data back to the bot. Those were called submit actions. And in a bot environment, you could see it just continued along a conversation. Again, I don't necessarily know that my card is hosted within a bot. I am defining my action as a submit action, and it's up to that host app to figure out what submit means. In a bot conversation, it means, oh, send a message back to the conversation. That same submit action sent to, say, a live tile may trigger a foreground activation or a background task. So basically, it's up to the host app to decide what you do. What does submit mean in the environment that I'm hosted in? We can also show additional cards. That enables some really cool scenarios that, you know, I showed a couple of them. But having one card being able to show another really, really, when we kind of nailed that, I think it enabled a whole bunch of scenarios that'll help you guys come up with some pretty cool cards. We have inputs to gather information from your users. Certainly, rich layout is nice, but without being able to gather that information, you saw checkboxes. We have a handful of things in our schema. We don't know if it's enough. Your feedback is certainly more than welcome there. And we're speech-enabled from day one. And I'm now realizing I forgot to demo that, but I might come back and show that again. So the tooling, now I'm realizing I forgot one other demo too. So I showed you our interactive visualizer, and I showed you our schema explorer. The visualizer is just that tool where you can type in any JSON you want and preview it. The schema explorer helps you walk through and click try it yourself. We also have a VS Code previewer. The install link is on our GitHub and on our site. But it's pretty neat. You basically just open up your JSON schema, and we have a live previewer while you're in code. We have a JSON schema file that gives you full IntelliSense of the schema. We're just trying to make it not suck when writing JSON, because it's not very fun. So I mentioned this ecosystem we're trying to build. And you saw a couple partnerships. We have a couple to share. So with adaptive cards, we're looking for open partnerships. Everything we're doing is completely open. Open schema, open source. We're creating a review board we have a set of core principles that's helping define this schema. The reality is we're in a tricky space. Whereas most people think of UI stacks, HTML, XAML, whatever, where you kind of own both ends, right? Whether the UI is from the cloud or whatever, you're hosting both ends. So these UI stacks are very, very powerful. We're in a particularly tricky place because we're trying to make this schema flexible enough such that all of you can write cards that make sense, that address the scuba bots of the world and the Amtraks and anything else. We're trying to address that long tail. But at the end of the day, Skype, Microsoft Teams, various other partners, and these experience owners are very, very particular about their user experience. Their users are very near and dear to them, so they want to retain control of that user experience. And we're trying to walk that line. We think we're doing an okay job. Your feedback is certainly welcome, but for the content authors and the host experience owners, we'd love to hear from you, but we're trying to kind of bridge that divide. So we have a set of common tooling. I talked about the card rendering tooling. But we haven't really talked about if you're the minority audience, probably the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Skypes of the world that displays cards. We have a bunch of tooling there, these renderer libraries that effectively take in a payload plus some styling information, and we generate native UI on every platform. We're not going to really walk into that here, but we have a lot of information to announce soon. And we're just a common shared schema. This is not a Microsoft proprietary thing. This is going to be as open as a standard as possible. So what does that look like? We talked about a bot. We showed a bot in Skype. We unfortunately don't have a demo yet, but coming soon we'll have bots showing adaptive cards within Microsoft Teams. We're very excited about that. And so how did that card get into this arguably fake screen chat? Well, the same way that it got into Skype. It starts by Microsoft Teams authoring a card, and they send that through a bot framework message. That going through the bot framework is how you get those cards into Microsoft Teams. So within your bot framework message and activity, they have these things called attachments. And for them, an attachment can be an adaptive card. They also have other stuff like routing info, channel data, that's specific to bot framework. But what if you could take that card and apply it to Windows timeline? All that really changes is that surrounding scope. If you saw Sean Henry's talk yesterday on user activities, which is the API in Windows to get inside timeline, they talked about there's metadata, there's a URI, and there's a visual component. That visual component is the adaptive card. So you can share that same exact card, totally different context, and what happens is now your users get a super pretty timeline experience showing that same card that looks and feels like timeline, just like it looked and felt like Microsoft Teams. I talked about how it worked. I'll show a pretty graphic with a really ugly cloud on how this works. MSN Weather, let's say as a cloud author, they create an adaptive card payload. That payload then gets combined with what we call a host configuration of an app. So if you're Skype, you define this host configuration. It's a JSON serialized object model, just like the payload is, but it's more tailored for the host. Like, we have 5 font sizes in adaptive cards. We have normal, medium, small, extra, whatever. We have 5 of them. You have to tell us what your 5 sizes are. What are your type ramp? What are your margins between your cards? What padding? What padding do you have between elements? You author that configuration once. You can even host it in the cloud. And our renderer libraries know natively how to interpret both of those things. So with a shared host configuration and a shared developer payload, we then create native UI on every platform using our renderers on each one. So with those two pieces, you can get really close to lighting up adaptive cards wherever you are. So just like we want to make it super easy for the card authors to be able to share their content, we want to make it incredibly easy for the host experience owners to open themselves up to this rich ecosystem of adaptive card content. We feel like it gets rid of maybe the concern that people had of, I want to integrate third-party content, but I don't want to give them a shared UI canvas. And even if I do give them a shared UI canvas, then you have all the other potential wormholes you have to get down to. How do you deal with performance? How do you do security? How do you deal with all that? And then you're on all those platforms. So our renderers hopefully will make that very easy. We're on Android today, iOS, HTML, WPF, Xamarin Forms. We'll have Xamarin stuff coming soon. Some of it's in alpha. Some of it's in beta. It's all early preview, which we think is actually pretty cool. It's been certainly excited. You know, me coming from the Windows developer platform I've been on for a while now, it's just fun to be able to share stuff as it's baking. It's pretty cool. You're seeing that now with the XAML standard announcement yesterday. It's pretty cool getting to be part of this. We're truly getting the community involved, and I think that's a lot of fun. So again, we're announcing early preview. We've talked about a couple partnerships so far. Our biggest one is the Bot Framework. It's been an incredible time working with them over the last 6 months. They're going to route you through Microsoft Teams, SMS, Bing, Skype. They make sure that adaptive cards are going to look great everywhere. You saw that Bing demo yesterday where they could talk to a bot from Bing.com and you can ask a bot about your hours and things. Be pretty cool to see adaptive cards there. You saw Windows stuff. Tiles, Toast, notifications, timeline, Windows services are going to support adaptive cards more and more. The API is going to light up here in the fall creators update, which is pretty cool. So you'll start to be authoring adaptive cards. We do have a lot more to announce in the coming months, which is equally exciting. And I do have a kind of special privilege today to announce that our first third-party partner has signed up. And that's Kik, and I want to invite Sergio up here with me. So Kick is a messaging platform, potentially one of the originals, I believe. I mean, you guys have been around forever.
Yeah, we've been, it's a chat platform, and we've got over 300 million registered users.
Yeah.
And our main folks were really popular with US teens.
Okay.
And so, you know, at Kick, my role leading the Pundit Success team is really to help developers, brands, and what we call chat agencies to build killer chat experiences for our users. And so in the last 3 years, we've learned a lot talking to developers, and we see about three common themes. You know, being a developer in the chat space can be very challenging. You know, you've got to decide what platform to build on, mm-hmm. whether it's Skype, Kick, Facebook, or Slack, as we've got someone in the audience here. So how do I decide that? Then, you know, I've got developer resources that I need to optimize and, you know, maximize my output.
Right.
And finally, how do I get people, or how do I get people to discover my bots, to chat to them? And so we're really excited to partner with Microsoft. We partnered with them before originally on the bot framework. And now with the adaptive cards, I think we can start to address some of those pain points.
Yeah. Do you want to do a quick demo? Can we see it? Can we see it in Kick?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I need an iPhone for this. So let's go into Kick on here. So we have a very nice, it's going to be very awkward to type. Let me switch over to the projector there. I don't know what numbers it say on that guy.
Number one. Right. Now you're going to have to guide me on this one.
Yeah, I'll totally guide you. So I'm the one who built the dive bot. Right now we're in Kick's messaging platform right now. And so we're talking to that same dive bot. So you could say hello. It's a very awkward typing position.
It is.
Hit send there.
Hello.
In the Wi-Fi's. There it is. Good afternoon. So there's that same carousel rendered Kick. We'll have to get carousel lit up eventually, but right now it's showing those four options. So now, if you go down to the keyboard and want to type Fabricam, yeah, type the keyboard. It's spelled as Fab, F-A-B, R-I-K-A-M.
There we go.
There we go.
Awesome.
Hit send. And so we can choose Fabricam. This is obviously, you know, an early preview, but it's showing that this same card now, and you could type Alki if you want here, A-L-K-I. We gotta get you out. We gotta get you out there.
No, I love diving, by the way. There we go.
And it's so nice how many people are joining. You'll see it kind of goes through that same flow, and we don't have number generating yet. But so this is pretty cool to see. I mean, it's pretty neat seeing these cards start to light up in all these different places. Yeah, you can start over. I think you can type wildlife, which is actually a fun one. Oh, do we lose power on it? You know what? They put the power button in a very awkward spot as you're typing. Type wildlife, because what this bot's going to do is tell you what kind of things you can expect to see around Seattle. What type of fish, frankly, because I'm focusing on fish and animal wildlife. Oh, tap on that. You got to tap on that. One of those, is that a golden graphite? That's an elusive golden graphite down there. Oh, man. Where do you see that? Cool. Well, that's anything awesome. Else you want to say?
No, look, we're just really excited. I think it's going to be a lot of, you know, as we start to look at, you know, for us, you know, it's going to help developers, you know, build rich media experiences on our platform and across platforms. So we'll get a lot of reach. And secondly, they're going to be able to scale.
Yeah.
And they'll get rid of a lot of those pain points when they're trying to decide, am I going to develop on Facebook, Kick? It's going to be, that decision is going to be much easier now.
Yeah.
And for us, you know, it's going to give us an opportunity to work with you guys to actually build these killer chat experiences for our users.
Cool. And all of us win because our content goes to people on Skype, people on Kick, and we just author our content once.
That's
Sergio,
awesome.
Thanks so much for coming out.
No worries.
You know what? Let's do one other quick thing. You guys are, I wish I made my scuba bot a little more powerful, but I do want to show one other quick thing. It's an early demo. We've been working tirelessly hours to get it going, so I'd be remiss if I didn't show it. Here is Contoso Dibot. Again, we are on an iPhone. This is a native Android app now, or a native Android app running on. This is a Xamarin Forms app running on iOS. And how do I send? Hello. We'll see if this bot's still working. Wildlife. Come on, you bot. Why didn't I scale up the Azure instance? You guys are all probably on this scuba bot trying to figure out where we can go once we get out of here. Kill it real quick. Launch bot chat. Hello there. Oh, there he is. So good afternoon. Please take a look at our great scuba things. We can see here's a native iOS carousel. That's cool. And I can say this one. Perfect. We get our couple cards rendered, again, as native iOS code. We could say Golden Gardens. How many people will be joining you? We get our input selector. So basically just showcasing, we've got these cards. I authored them once. We're on a whole bunch of platforms, not only UI platforms, but multiple stacks. Pretty neat to finally see it lighting up. Thank you. Appreciate it. So there's one other partnership that I want to announce, and that's frankly all of you. I mentioned this is a pretty new problem space. It's a pretty exciting problem space. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be challenging to kind of bridge that divide. We're going to have very competing influences and interests coming in. What we really, really want you to get involved, we're actively trying to seek feedback. We saw the website, adaptivecards.io. You can talk to us on Twitter at adaptivecards. We're taking schema proposals in the form of issues. We're welcoming contributions. We're welcoming anything in our GitHub that you feel like you can help, basically help us define this space. We certainly can't do it on our own. And we certainly can't reach the breadth of card authors to make sure we're making the right trade-offs without your help. I do want to give a special thanks to a ton of people, Tom, Dan, David, Ricardo, who have been helping me with this. I mean, it's been super exciting, and I'm really glad I've been able to work with all of you. There are a couple related sessions that you would have seen. So we showed Timeline. If you really want to dive into how adaptive cards can be used in Timeline to reach your users there, go to Sean Henry. Well, you can't go to it yesterday. Watch Sean Henry's session. I'm sure it's online by now on user activities. Bot Framework had some sessions. They're going to talk about adaptive cards and how you use them through Bot Framework. They're going to dive in. Handful of related sessions. We are a featured team at the Hub, and we're going to have some blog posts. Adaptive Cards blog will be announced soon, and we'll have some blog posts coming soon. And lastly, find us at the Hub right now. Right immediately following this session, we're going to have a bunch of folks there who want to talk to you, figure out, you know, does adaptive cards make sense? Does it sound like you're doing some things not the right way? So we're going to be there for 90 minutes from 1:30 to 3 o'clock. And please complete an eval. They are important, and if anyone has any questions, I am happy to receive them at the microphones. Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, go ahead.
I had one. So some of the endpoints, like there's two in particular I thought of. Live tiles don't have support for like buttons and stuff.
Correct.
And I also saw SMS, which pretty much is just plain text and maybe a picture if it's an MMS.
Yeah.
Like there's no fonts or anything. How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what it does today, and this is working, you can talk to your bot via SMS, and what they do is we generate an image server-side and send that down as an SMS. But obviously your point of what about the actions and things. So we interpret those. It's still a bit of a work in progress, but we'll interpret those actions and then give you a nice text response, like press number one for this, and then you respond with one. So the bot framework does all of that adaptation for you. You don't have to do any of that work. About live tiles not having actions, that's just the way it is right now. Mm-hmm. As an adaptive card host, you can say whether or not you support interactivity. And if you say false, we do all the work of removing actions, removing input, and we make sure the card still looks great on a live tile. We don't want to put in a text box you can't touch on there.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we do a lot of that adaptation for you.
Cool.
Thank you.
How about enterprise endpoints? So Outlook has some actionable cards, I think they call
them. Actionable message, yeah.
That I think this is either related to or similar to.
Yeah.
And then also Skype for Business is obviously the big one.
Yeah, so we don't have any partnerships to share yet on that front, but we are certainly engaged with them, and hope stay tuned over the next coming months, I think.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks. Any other questions? Are we going to get the nice horde once I shut everything down? All right, cool. Well, thanks so much, everyone. I'll be around down at the hub around here and looking forward to talking to you.